word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, playing ball, the origins and evolution of the world's most commonly used sporting good, from batting around papyrus to $500 billion industry. And a serious scientist considers the zombie apocalypse. We'll hear from a researcher studying a fungus that turns marching ants into the walking dead. But we begin with homophobia in American medicine. A recent New York Times op-ed by Dr. Pauline Chen caught our eye. In an era of rapidly expanding acceptance and rights for gays and lesbians, for bisexual and transgendered people, her question, does medicine discourage gay doctors, is one we had not yet heard asked. So we invited Dr. Chen to tell us more. Pauline, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
So there is growing awareness, growing civil rights for people gay, lesbian, transgendered, bisexuals. What led you to publicly address this issue at this time?
It's interesting because I had noticed, along with growing trends nationally, that even within medicine, there was an increasing awareness of the issues that lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender patients and physicians face. For instance, the Institute of Medicine just put out a report on LGBT healthcare issues. There was a wonderful paper that was published at the end of last year on medical education and how doctors are trained in how to take care of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender patients. And then more recently, I read an incredible essay based on a talk by Dr. Mark Schuster, who's a pediatrician at Boston Children's Hospital. And all of those things together, I did write about the JAMA piece, the Journal of the American Medical Association piece on medical education as well. But all of those pieces got me thinking again and interested in the topic.
Mark Schuster, in fact, was oft quoted for saying, you know, he was in a constant struggle to choose between being a doctor and being openly gay.
Yeah.
So what makes it different? What about homophobia or even ignorance about homosexual behavior or issues? What makes it different in the medical profession than others?
I think what makes it different is that as doctors, we are dealing with patients and with patients' health. And one of the things that comes up in actually speaking and interviewing people for these pieces and talking to Dr. Schuster and talking to several other doctors as well is that every time a patient who is LGBT goes to the doctor, in order to establish the kind of relationship that you need to have with your doctor, you need to come out. And so you need to feel comfortable on a certain level that your doctor is not going to judge you when you say, you know, you're gay or you're lesbian or you're bisexual or transgender, and that that doctor will listen to all of your issues. Now, one of the interesting things that's been discovered over time is that LGBT patients actually tend to have more worse outcomes than non-LGBT patients. They tend to suffer from more chronic diseases. They tend to suffer higher rates of substance abuse, domestic violence, depression, suicide. And a lot of that has to do with difficulty in accessing healthcare, in finding doctors or any kind of clinician that they feel comfortable coming out to.
How about med school? Does medical training prepare doctors to deal with LGBT patients?
That's very interesting. Unfortunately, I think at present, probably not. The paper that came out at the end, the research that came out at the end of last year was fascinating because most medical schools taught young doctors-to-be, how to ask patients the question, whom do you have sex with, men, women, or both? Mm-hmm. And I was taught that. I went to medical school about 20 years ago. But beyond that, very little time is devoted to issues of import to this community. So, for instance, about a quarter of medical schools, a quarter of deans of medical schools felt that their curriculum was insufficient in terms of this topic, in terms of dealing with patients who are LGBT. A third of medical schools devoted no more time to teaching about these issues than that question. Now, what was hopeful about that study to me is that even though there isn't much being done, that a third of medical schools don't teach more than that question. The fact that deans feel that that's insufficient, I think, is sort of a step forward. Now, you have to consider, too, that there are a lot of issues, too, sort of contributing to this lack of education. One is that because medicine hasn't paid a lot of attention to these issues for a long time, there hasn't been a lot of research. There aren't a lot of people who have a lot of expertise who can teach young medical students about these issues. I mean, you have to remember that it wasn't even a generation ago that people like Dr. Schuster experienced things where he had a mentor who was like a father to him in his field, a very powerful person in his field. And that mentor said to him, when you apply to your training programs, I am going to write letters of recommendation for you. I'm going to help you. And Mark felt, Dr. Schuster felt, that at a certain point he had to come out to this mentor, because one of the things that residency programs looked at, training programs looked at, were your positions of leadership. And his most significant position of leadership was with a gay affinity group. And he also felt that if his mentor found out from somebody else, he might feel like he wasn't being open and honest with him. Well, he told his mentor, and the reaction was silence. But then a few months later, Dr. Schuster heard back from his mentor, and his mentor rescinded, said, "I'm not going to write you a letter of recommendation," which was a terrible experience. I think those sorts of things happen less now that we in general in society have been more open and more there's been progress in terms of rights for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. But at the same time, I think that there are also areas where it's still very difficult for them, and where these things that happened 20 years ago aren't so quaint.
We're talking about whether the practice of medicine is unwelcoming to gay medical students and doctors, and whether medical training is really adequately addressing the needs of a growing LGBT population. Our guest is Pauline Chen. She's a physician who recently asked those questions in a recent New York Times op-ed. Well, how about for you? I mean, did you feel welcome when you first began working in the field?
Well, it's interesting. I am an Asian American woman in surgery, and I think there were some issues that I felt, mostly because the way that I was different was so visually obvious, let's say. But I do remember, and I write about this actually in the piece in the Times, that I had a very close friend during my training who was gay, or I suspected as being gay. But I never asked him about it because I didn't think it was very important at the time. But I remember every time we would talk about relationships, he would just quickly joke about how he couldn't get a date, and then the subject would be dropped. Well, one morning we were working in one of the nurses' stations, and one of the senior surgeons came storming into the station, and his face, I just remember, was beat red, and he just approached the group of us and started screaming at us. And he was angry because he had discovered one of his patients that morning was short of breath, probably because that patient had not received an adequate dose of diuretic the night before. And he yelled at us, and what he said was, "Which of you idiots gave my patient that homosexual dose of diuretic?" And that phrase, I mean, we were appalled. I mean, we were appalled, but none of us said anything. I mean, later that day, and actually for weeks afterwards, we were angry. We ranted about it, and we even made fun of him. I mean, the sentence just stuck out in our minds because it was so, to us, it was such an egregious error. But we never said anything to him because we were afraid, because in a system where someone that senior could say something like that, we realized for us to say something against that would have been a career ender.
Well,
but things are changing.
Well, things are changing. And, you know, obviously you were too scared then, but you wrote this op-ed, which asks a really important question. I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Pauline Chen, liver transplant and cancer surgeon, and a regular contributor to the New York Times, and author of Final Exam, A Surgeon's Reflections on Mortality. There's a link to her op-ed, Does Medicine Discourage Gay Doctors, at wordofmouthradio.org. Now stay with us for NanoMeds when Word of Mouth continues.